Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's time now for City Matters, right here on K1, the one you trust. City Manager Mike Bailey, how you doing there?
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Well, it's nice to know that everybody's in agreement on things these days.
Yeah, in this room, maybe. I don't know that I'd look much farther than this.
We had a little meeting on Friday. I kind of thought maybe some pressure had been relieved.
And that's right. Now, thankfully, we did reach an agreement on that. That was a long time coming. On Friday we had wasn't an emergency meeting. We just called a special meeting on Friday afternoon to approve an agreement that the city reached with the IAFF, which of course is the International Association of Firefighters. It is our local union that represents firefighters in Bartlesville. This contract is effective July 1st of 2021, which, as you know, it was a little while ago.
Yep.
We've been negotiating since, I'd say, the early spring of this year. So, thankfully, we were able to reach an agreement. There really was three significant issues that both parties were mainly interested in. From the city, there was two things that were really important to us. One of them, there is in most union contracts, in particular fire and police union contracts, there'll be a clause called a Me Too. And all that means is that anything you do for anybody else, you have to do for me. And that's fine, except that when the union groups want to negotiate for things that are different for them than it is for other groups, the Me Too clause gets in the way. So the city's argued about that a few years, that, you know, the Me Too clause keeps us from negotiating because the parties always come in the room and say, we don't really care about them, we're only negotiating for us. So, well, as long as they have a Me Too clause and you have a Me Too clause, you're technically negotiating for both parties, even though you don't want to, and I don't want you to. So
that gets complicated.
It can get very complicated, and I know the reason the Me Too clause was in there. Everybody knows the history of it that's been involved, but it essentially was to protect the union members, but it actually was harming them more than it was helping them over the last few years. So we were able to negotiate the removal of that Me Too clause, actually both from the fire and the police department. So now we truly can negotiate with each group as if it's its own, its own special group, because they have different needs, different requirements. They want to negotiate for different things. It makes it very difficult when the other side has a Me Too clause. So those are struck, so I think we're in a much better position to negotiate now. One of the other things, and this one honestly was probably the most critical to from the city's perspective, is our promotional process for leadership positions. There's not a lot of positions that I would wrap up into this, but it dealt with the top positions in the department. So it was the deputy chief, it was the training officer, and it was fire marshal and assistant fire marshal. So all of those positions fell under a promotional system that only allowed you to test or consider the five most senior people who chose to sign up. And it seems like it would be okay, but the system was failing us and had failed us for a long time. A good example was the last time we had this. There were seven people signed up. We could only test the top five, so we don't know how the other two would have done. We also don't know if there were more people that would have signed up that had interest. We know there was a lot of interest in the position, but we had seven people signed up, so two of them essentially weren't able to be tested. And of the five that we could test, four of them failed the test. So unfortunately, we went from having seven to testing five to only having one candidate. It was fortunate for us this time that the one person that passed the test is going to be a good training officer. So we got lucky. It didn't have to be that way. And we wanted to ensure that for these really critical positions that are helping to see our department into the future, that we had more choices. We shouldn't be limited simply to the five guys who have been here the longest, because while experience helps to prepare you and helps to make you a better candidate, it doesn't necessarily follow that the most senior person will be the best candidate. So while they certainly deserve a chance, so do a lot of other people in the organization. So the city negotiated on this. This really was kind of our hill to die on this year. We had to have greater flexibility in hiring in these positions. So thankfully we were able to negotiate to where anyone with 10 years in the department, which is a lot of people, it'll be over half the department, is eligible to sign up, and as many people as sign up, we'll test them all. And testing in fire departments is how you go about determining promotions. So we were really excited to get this done. We could have, I expect that we will go from testing 5 people for these positions to possibly testing 15 to 20 people. It broadens that field so much. It also creates competition within it, which we all know that in organizations, when you're focused on results, competition's good. The guys need to know that there are other people out there that want that job, and so everybody will try a little bit harder. We're looking forward to seeing what that brings us. We actually currently have 2 of those positions vacant right now, and so it was really important and very timely, and this was something that needed to be fixed in this contract. So we'll be looking to hire a deputy chief and a fire marshal here in the next, well, it should get posted very soon. I suspect the chief's about ready to get that done now that we have a contract. He's ready to move on it. So those 2 were pretty important issues. The one that we negotiated on probably the longest was pay. It's been a while since we started talking about this, so most people have probably forgotten, but this year the city was able to provide some pretty significant raises to a lot of different positions, and it wasn't just one pay raise across the board. We looked at each position, compared it to its peers, looked at it to try to determine what they should be making. Our focus was on recruitment and retention, and so is our pay sufficient to ensure that we're able to hire good people and then keep them here long term? And so that was the focus. We had accomplished that across the organization. We had made an offer for the fire department as well. We felt like the entry-level positions, which were the firefighters, mm-hmm. that they were the farthest behind. And so we had made an offer that provided them with a larger increase than it did the upper ranks with driver, captain, battalion chief. through negotiations, we actually ended up offering the same raise, not just to the firefighters, but to those other 3 ranks as well. So we were able to do that, and again, our focus really was on ensuring that we had good pay for the firefighter rank to loosen up that promotional system so that we could get as many qualified candidates as we have testing for this, and then to remove the Me Too. So after some lengthy negotiations, we're grateful that we were able to arrive at a conclusion for all of those. We're glad that we were able to pay our firefighters an amount that puts us honestly ahead of that of our peers. So we think we're in a really good position right now. And it was a lengthy debate and lengthy negotiations. And you mentioned it earlier. We're grateful that we can all agree for for a couple of months. Negotiations start in about January or February. So for a few months here, we're all going to be in agreement.
Get to do the holidays.
That's right. it really was a great event. This was the negotiating team was the city attorney, Jess Kane, the finance director, Jason Moniger, and HR director, Laura Sanders. The 3 of them have met numerous times with the IAFF and their leadership team, and I'm grateful to the 3 of them for their patience and diligence on this. I'm also really grateful to the council for their support through this process. Union negotiations can get tricky. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I had a backup plan for today because we technically had an arbitration scheduled for this morning. So had we not had that deal on, hey. Yeah, that's right. Had we not been able to come to that deal, we would have been in arbitration.
And for the record, arbitration means nobody walks away happy, right?
No, they do not. No, they don't. Absolutely. It is an adversarial proceeding. It's not the way to go about it, and it leads to one of 2 outcomes. Either the arbitrator chooses the union's last best offer or the city's last best offer, and then if they choose the union's, then the city has the ability to call an election. And so if you think an arbitration is adversarial, just imagine an election to where you are...
But it tore the town apart.
It absolutely can, and it takes a long time to heal that kind of damage. So we're glad we didn't get there. Obviously, we were willing to. There were certain issues that we felt very strongly about, but we're grateful not just to the council and to my negotiating team, but also to the IAFF leadership and to the firefighters for making this happen so that we didn't have to go to arbitration this morning. Nobody wanted that. Yep. Nobody. So, over the weekend, we also had several events that were a little...
Yes.
Well, this was a good thing. It just took a lot of frustration and pain to get there. But over the weekend, Replenish, which is a company we've been talking to, honestly, just about since the since we had the fire at the materials handling center in Tulsa, and so we've been back and forth discussing with them how they could assist us to get our center reopened. During that process, Replenish is not only going to partner with this with us, but they're also willing to partner with essentially any nonprofit in town, or I don't even know if it has to be a nonprofit. And they, you become a drop-off site for recycling. So they had an event because we'd been discussing that the absence of recycling in Bartlesville for the extended period of time that it had, we felt like there was a lot of pent-up demand. And so in our discussions with them, we kind of wanted to clear that off the board, and then everybody could go back to collecting normal amounts. So Replenish hosted that event. It was at MJ Lee Lake. I heard from them that it went extremely well, that it exceeded their expectations. And so they're glad to have that out of the way. They will, they already have partners. So if you're interested, go online, look up Replenish. It's
N-Y-S-H.
That's right. Replenish. They're all over Facebook. The city of Bartlesville, we've shared their stuff. So you can either sign up to be a host, or you can just sign up to get the information so that you know where to take your recycling. The city will be reopening our drop-off center. That'll be done in partnership with Replenish now. And so we're going to become a host site for them as well. We have a meeting with them. I believe Keith Henry and I have a meeting with them at about, I think it's 1:30, 2 o'clock today. So we'll meet with them and finalize that, and we look forward to getting our site back open as well. So we're really close to having recycling running full bore in Bartlesville again. And
give us a shout when you do.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yep, we will. I realize that there is, this is something, if
we,
you always,
we get called almost as much as you.
There you go. If you want to know how much somebody wants something,
yeah,
don't do it for a little while and see how it turns out.
Oh.
So once recycling, we were unable to do that. We found out it was really important to the people of Bartlesville. So, but anyway, we're grateful to Replenish. We're glad that that is kicking off, and we're really excited to have that started again. So we'll more to come soon. So, and this week we've got, I believe it's this week, yeah, this week we have Halloween coming up towards the end of the week. Mm-hmm. And so I brought our Deputy Chief, Rocky Beavard, in here and talk about some Halloween safety and some tips for everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning,
sir. Rocky. Yeah, we have several community events coming up, mainly Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Leading up to that, we looks like we're going to have nice weather. Be a lot of kids and the families out attending community events, but there will also be your traditional trick-or-treaters in the neighborhoods. So we want to talk about, remind people of some things they can do for safety reasons. I wanted to mention some of the community events because we encourage families to take their children to those kinds of events. The traditional trick-or-treating is still pretty popular, but the community events have really taken hold around Halloween. Kicking things off on Friday, there's the Downtown Spooktacular at the Community Center from 5:30 to 7:30. Saturday, there's the 1400 block of St. John Catholic School on Keeler from 3 to 5 on Saturdays, having an event. Adams Boulevard to 9th Street will be blocked off, and you can go to St. John Catholic School for trunk or treat there. Sunday, there's several events. Adams Boulevard trunk or treat, Church of Christ, Adams Boulevard Church of Christ from 5 to 7 on Sunday. The Westside Community Center on Sunday from 6 to 7:30. And then the 1400 block of Valley Road is having a big block party and trick-or-treat event as well on Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m. So those would be good opportunities to take the children to organized events to do the trick-or-treating. If you do the traditional trick-or-treating, National Safety Council and the Bartlesville Police Department recommend several things that you should do. Should have a responsible adult accompany young children on the neighborhood rounds. If your older children are going alone, plan and review a route acceptable to you. agree on a specific time that the children should return home. You should teach your children never to enter a stranger's home or car. Instruct children to travel only in familiar, well-lit areas and stick with their friends. Tell your children not to eat any treats until they return home and they can be inspected by an adult. And take care to avoid any food allergies that could be included in those treats. Also, anything that's not in original packaging, we recommend, unless it's coming from a family member or a close friend, that those be discarded and not even be consumed. Children and adults are reminded to put electronic devices down, put your phones down, keep your head up, and walk. Don't run across the street. So those are some things that families with their children can keep in mind. Safety tips for motorists. Make sure you watch for children walking on the roadways, medians, and curbs, especially around twilight and during darkness. Enter and exit driveways and alleys carefully because you're going to have kids walking across those intersections. At twilight and later in the evening, watch for children in dark clothing. And discourage new, inexperienced drivers from driving on Halloween. We have a lot of construction in town. One of the corridors, the main corridor, Highway 75, is under construction currently. A lot of traffic is using neighborhood streets to cut through, shortcut around the construction going on Highway 75. We discourage that always, but we especially discourage it during this upcoming weekend on Halloween. It's just not safe to be using those thoroughfares as corridors and driving faster than the posted speed limit. And especially, around Halloween time this coming weekend, make sure that you are obeying the speed limit and keeping your head on a swivel watching for these kiddos on the side of the road. So those are some things that can be done during this upcoming busy week for the kids, and hopefully everyone has a great time and a safe time.
Very good. Hey, Mike Bailey, I got a question for you. Is the city in charge of setting times and dates for holidays?
It's like you read my notes, Tom.
You get mad when people ask you that.
I'll tell you what, it's one of the things that surprised me when I started with the city. We've never done that, and it is something that we do get requests for, and I'm sure you all want get the same questions. It's nothing we've ever done. There are cities that do it, but Bartlesville has never set dates or times for celebrations. As you can hear, if you want to celebrate Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday, you have plenty of options without there us stepping go. In and telling you when you need to celebrate. There are lots of options. In fact, you can celebrate all 3 days.
You bet.
That's
yeah.
right.
The other events, like the church events, the trunk
yeah.
treats going on.
Yeah, even outside of what was mentioned here, there'll be a lot of great events. There's a lot of trunk or treats and church events and neighborhood block parties and things like that. So it really is a great weekend. It's a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it, and just help us to enjoy it safely would be our only request. All right, I'm gonna boot this over to Lisa Beeman, who I asked her what she was going to talk about this morning, and what'd you tell me?
I said I'm winging it, but I'm not winging it. I am not prepared.
She's got a whole stack of notes.
I got a whole list of notes.
So 15 minutes ago she was winging it. Now she's ready.
I'm prepared. So I want to talk a little bit today, just to let everybody know, kind of some of the construction that's going on in town, because I know I get asked a lot of questions, and you all do probably as well. So on commercial construction, I wanted to tell everybody, they may know, some of these you may not, but just east of Starbucks on Frank Phillips Boulevard, that's Schlotsky's that is going in there. That's kind of like a sandwich yep. restaurant. Very good. In front of Kmart, there was a plan. It had been approved, but they're going to start construction of Bricktown Brewery. And then they're actually going to build, the building will be in two parts. So Bricktown Brewery will be on one side, and I think they were talking about Jimmy's Egg on the other. So we've issued permits and plans for that. At the old gas station, or the old Phillips 66 on Frank Phillips Boulevard, you may have noticed that they tore down the car wash. In that spot will be, that lot has been split into two. So Tropical Smoothie, I think, is under, they're framing it now. And then the gas station that's on that site will also be removed, and it will serve as a second building site for something else, which we don't know what that is yet. Scooter's Coffee is building just north of Chick-fil-A on in Eastland Shopping Center. I think they're getting started on that. At the corner of Washington Boulevard and Price Road, at the northeast corner by the mall, there's actually a store going in called HTO. That would be H-T-E-A-O. And that is an iced tea store. It's not a restaurant. It is apparently quite a business in iced tea sales. There are several. I think there's some in Tulsa and Oklahoma City as well. Into the old Big Lots on Frank Phillips Boulevard, where Sitel was in that location, there is a new, it's a warehouse furniture store coming called American Freight Furniture and Mattress. So that is actually owned by Sears, and so it combines some of the Sears outlet with some of the other furniture and mattress sales that they do. And then I want to clear up at the old Sooner Hotel site on Highway 75, also known as the Popeyes site. I want to assure everyone that Popeyes is not walking away. They own, actually, there's two building sites at that location. You will see a for sale sign on the south lot. They have the north lot. They actually own both lots. They're going to sell the south lot. They are going to be building on the north lot. We've reviewed plans and sent those back. What the slowdown is they had a lot of construction they had to do in the upper Midwest. So because of the temperatures and things like that, they've focused the summer months in building the stores in the upper Midwest. And so they are right now waiting on corporate plan approval for the building in Bartlesville. And as soon as they get that, they will be getting the permit and starting construction. So that's all good news. On the residential front, we have D.R. Horton, it's a national builder. They are building in Park Place Subdivision. So some of you may know that Park Place Subdivision kind of got a start, but then the construction stopped, mostly because it was an out-of-town builder that didn't proceed. But there is still a great need in the community for new single-family construction. And so they have 26 homes under construction right now. Wow. And they plan to do up to 70 total. So this would be the first phase of that.
And they plan to do that fairly quickly, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, they're planning to move fairly quickly. So that's really good for the residential market. You may be aware of the cottages on 6th Street, which is on Virginia, just north of Adams. It's actually east of Virginia, north of Adams. It's the neighborhood of the colorful tiny homes.
Yes.
So the developer there has started his phase two construction, so he's building 6 more homes in that neighborhood. And on the lines of tiny homes, I want to just say a few words. A lot of people think they can go out and buy a shed and turn that into a tiny home. And there's a lot of marketing and advertising, and tiny homes are popular in many places. But I need to caution everybody that you just can't go buy a shed and put it in your backyard and turn it into a home. Because it's a residential use, it has to meet the minimum international residential codes, which are approved by the state of Oklahoma, and the cities have to adopt and enforce the minimum codes. So that means, you know, studs and joists for roofs and flooring have to have minimum spacing. They have to have a certain type of wood to meet the spans, those types of things. But most importantly, even if you could find one that was already constructed that had the certifications for wind loads and live loads and snow loads on the roofing, the most important thing people need to know is you can't just go out there and put it on the ground on concrete blocks. It has to be treated the same as any other home. So that means you have to dig a footing that's below frost level. So, you know, once you dig that footing and then you pour your slab, you have to have a way to permanently tie that down. So please, please, please do not go out and buy a shed and slap that down and then think that we can, you know, let that go because we can't.
And Lisa, are there some development regulations beyond the building regulations?
So absolutely. There's zoning regulations that would prevent some of that from happening as well. You can't have two houses on a residential lot. You also have to meet, there are homeowners regulations and restrictions as well. There are setback requirements. There's a lot more restrictions than just the structure, but you have to be able to get past the structural things too,
right,
before you could even think about it. So please, if you're thinking about this, please ask us. Don't do it and then wait for us to catch you and tell you you can't do it and you've wasted $15,000. So I don't want to be, you know, giving everybody bad news, but it's really important that people live in a safe environment. So that's the news from community development.
that was almost all good news.
It was almost all. It's all
almost
good news.
All good. It actually is. You're right. So, Micah, we got 1 minute left. Is there anything you want to share in 1 minute?
Why bother? Now, so biggest thing that we've gotten questions on is Hillcrest. So the work is, the lion's share of the
good
work
point
on Hillcrest is complete. We still have the 30-mile-an-hour speed limits up. This is because the contractor is still doing some work adjacent to the roadway. Now, granted, there's quite a bit of separation between the work they're doing and the roadway, but we've been keeping that down to 30 miles an hour while they wrap that work up. So hopefully they'll wrap that up here in the next week or two. But for the time being, please no passing in the double yellow
slow down
lines.
Pass.
We've got complaints about that. Just
so
be a little bit
didn't,
more
we didn't patient. Just forget those signs?
We didn't just forget
accidentally
them.
Leave them out there?
We didn't just forget them.
Okay.
The other thing, too, we've got questions on that is we are going to switch Bonzac Avenue to align with Shawnee. Currently, they put it in there wrong, and it's going along Hillcrest.
Okay.
Bonzac is actually Shawnee from 18th to Hillcrest.
Okay. So. I think he preferred it probably the way it was.
I think he did.
All right. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Tom. We appreciate it.